Genesis chapter 26. Clem reminded me that I had spoken on this within the last year while we were limited to very small numbers in our services. And I think I've probably preached from this text here at Grace Baptist Church before. Will you bear with me? Genesis chapter 26. Let's pray first, and then we'll consider what the Lord has for us here. Genesis 26 and verse number 1, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was Isaacing. That's the word. The Hebrew word is the same as his name. Isaac was Isaacing with Rebekah, his wife. Brother Joe Temple said that when the Bible here says that Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife, they were not playing tennis. I expect he was hugging her and laughing together and maybe gave her a kiss. And Abimelech called Isaac in verse 9 and said, Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lien with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Lord waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, every time I read this passage of Scripture, I think of a dear preacher friend, Sid Hunter, that's been home with the Lord now for probably 25 years, something like that. Because when we were living in Rockhampton many years ago, he brought a message from this text. And so he was the first to call my attention to this. I later found out that of all the commentators, I think Matthew Henry is the only one that noticed the same thing. And that was that Isaac sowed in the famine and received the greatest harvest mentioned in Scripture. I'm so impressed with that. Verse 1 says, And there was a famine in the land, and it describes which one it was, beside the first famine it was in the days of Abraham. And then, verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, I want to call this to your attention because it is such an example of faith, trusting God, believing God, and doing what the Lord asks us to do, and even being able to reach beyond what the Lord says so plainly to be able to understand what else is implied in the Lord's promises. I did a project some years ago. This Bible was printed in 1998, and I used it for a long time, 15 years or so at least. And in doing that, when I first got this Bible, I started marking in every chapter I read I was in the middle of it, so I read to the end and started over and got back to the starting place in the middle somewhere. But I marked in every chapter how many commands were in that chapter and how many promises. And the next chapter I did the same. And when I got to the end of all the chapters in a book, I would add up all the commands and write that number at the top of the title of that book, and add up all the promises and go back and write how many promises were in that book that I had been able to find. I'm always doubtful that they're completely accurate because I missed some. And so when I got to the end of the Old Testament, I went back through all the numbers at the top of the books of the Old Testament and added them up. And I found in the Old Testament and the New Testament what I hope is the total number of commands and promises in the Bible. When I started, I said, I think there are more promises than commands. That's the nature of God. God is so good. He makes promises to us that exceed in number the commands of God. So what I found was this. Don't take my word for it. Make it your own project. But I found in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 8,195 commands. I think that's close to right. And I found 9,548 promises in my Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Why is this important? Because in chapter 26, we see both of these. I'm going to write them on the board. And I want you to help me because there are three commands and seven promises in our text. And the three commands begin in verse 2. And end the three commands end in verse 3. So give me the first one of God's commands to Isaac. What are his? Go not down. I'm going to summarize these. What's the second one? Say it again. All right, sojourn. And I'll just let it be. Sojourn means to stay here as a pilgrim. And what's the third one? No, that's a promise. The third one is in verse 2. What is it? We should have had it second, but that's all right. Dwell in the land. Now, those are the three commands that God gives to Isaac. But the promises are sevenfold. And you may have a bit more difficulty finding the seven promises, but you will find them beginning in verse number 3. So take it slowly along. What's the first one you find? I will be with thee. I love that. I will be with thee. So often in the scripture, the Lord promises his abiding presence. What's the second one? Loudly. I will bless thee. Now, don't miss any if you can help it. We'll have to do Sherlock Holmes and go back and find it. All right, what's the third one? Loudly. All right. I'm just going to put down, I will give, and a few dots there. Number 4. I will what? All right, I will perform the oath. Okay. And I'm going to put that one with some dots. All right, and number 5. I need to hear it loudly. Is that right? All right, this is a really important promise. I'm going to try to write it all here. I will multiply thy seed. Number 6. All right. I'm going to write it this way. So just so we can identify, what's the 7th? Yes, all
nations blessed. Now, I doubt my mathematical ability sufficiently that I'm going to ask you, did you see any more? Are there any more promises? Are there any more commands? Isaac is such an example to us. And I don't remember who it was, but someone of the commentators said many years ago that Isaac was a man in the shadow almost all of his life. His life is described from Genesis chapter 21 to Genesis 35. Not every chapter has Isaac in it, but that's the chapters where you will find the life of Isaac. What's so interesting about Isaac is that he was surrounded by people that were so much, it looked like so much bigger than he was. Abraham, Sarah, Rebekah, his wife, Esau, and Jacob. It looked like everybody that was around him almost put him in the shadow. But there's one chapter where that's not true. That's chapter 26. And his faith stands out in bold relief right here. This is Isaac's chapter. Because in a famine, Isaac sowed, and the Lord, because of his faith, gave him a hundredfold harvest. Now, I want to pause there just a minute and ask you, can you see how this can apply to us? Can you see any way that this fits our situations or circumstances, our environment? Because we who know the Lord often go through times of famine. Oh, I'm not thinking about food. Most times we don't really do without food. I'm not thinking necessarily about finances. But there are dry times spiritually. Do any of you go through those where there are dry times? Clem and I were talking a few weeks ago about the dark night of the soul. Do you go through those times when you have a dark night of the soul and you say, oh Lord, where are you? I pray and I cry out to you and it seems you don't hear. And what's going on here? And we go through those times, but Isaac is an example of someone who believed and believed and believed and believed, and he sowed and God blessed in a famine. Think how unusual that is to have blessing in a famine. I'm going to ask you this question. I really do want you to help me with an answer here. Why did famines happen in Bible times? Tell me the reasons that you know of why famines happened in Bible times. Just give me one. Call it out loudly. All right, God chastening his people. That's a possibility. But let's talk about the methods he used if he was chastening his people. What did God send upon them that caused the famine? Tell me one of the things. Locusts was a possibility. All right? War. The Midianites came into the land. I've just been reading in Judges about Gideon and how the Midianites came into the land and they just stripped the land. They took everything they could get their hands on. So war was another one. What's another one? No rain. If the Lord sent a drought and there was no rain and there was no way to get the crops to grow. Another one, Norm? Was that the one you said? Okay, another one? God sent a famine and then challenged Isaac. It's interesting. First, he gave him some commands. He said, I want you to obey me. But he said, I'm going to give you some promises to go with the commands. That's so often the case. So often you find commands and promises intermingled. Can I give you a challenge as a studious Christian? When you're reading your Bible and you come across a command, look to see if there's a promise next door. Or look to see if they're all intermingled. Or look to see if the Lord gives several commands and then he gives several promises. Because the Lord has several ways of doing this. And sometimes the Lord will say, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you in all these ways. Now I want you to do this. And so it's important for us to get this. This really talks about the authority that God has. God could say to Isaac, I don't want you to go to Egypt. I want you to dwell in the land. I want you to sojourn here. And he had authority over Isaac. But then he says to him, I'm not going to be cruel to you. I'm not going to be a God that's hard to live with because I'm going to bless you a lot while you're here. And he gives him these promises. And some of these promises, like this one here, all the nations shall be blessed in you, is long range, isn't it? This is generations. We're talking about blessing that's still happening right now. So as we're looking at Isaac, and we see in him an example of faith, I wanted to call these things to your attention. We have some really precious things in this text. Do you mark your Bible at all? It's not disrespectful or irreverent to mark your Bible, and I know you're going to be careful to show reverence to the Lord and to His Word. But if you are the least bit inclined to mark your Bible, I want to call some words to your mind, to your attention. And you'll find them in verse 3 and verse 4 and then in verse 12. So read verse 3 with me. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. We're really interested in this word seed. The word seed is this word here, zera. And it appears not only in verse 3, but it appears in verse 4. You saw it there in verse 3, unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. Then go to verse 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we actually have four times there, don't we? Verse 3 and verse 4. But there's another time it appears. And it shows up here in verse 12, then Isaac seeded in that land. Same word. The word sowed is the same word. He seeded seed into the soil. That's a sower. He was sowing the seed into the soil. But that tells us something here that's really interesting, and that is that the way the word is used mostly in verses 3 and 4 refers to what? What? People. His descendants. We think about these children of Isaac's, Esau and Jacob, and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren as being his seed. That's the descendants, okay? But when we get to verse 12, what does the word sowed refer to there? Grain, grass, barley, wheat. We're in Genesis chapter 26 is where we are. What did you say, Merle? Oh, sorry, I heard someone. You have to yell at me. I'm deaf. Verse 12, then Isaac seeded in that land. He sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now I want you to hold your place. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to look with me at the first creation of life in the week of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding zera, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose zera is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed, yielding zera after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose zera was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So the grass and the herb and the trees all had seed. They had the ability to reproduce. God gave the green growing things and the living things, the warm-blooded creatures and the cold-blooded creatures, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts upon the land, the dinosaurs that were created in the first 6 days, on the sixth day of creation. All of these, the Lord said, let them bring forth after their own kind, with their seed in themselves, capable of reproducing. We say, we know that. That's so clear, isn't it? But it's just here that we learn an important principle of faith. And I expect some of you are going to say, I know that. I've known that a long time. But Isaac did something here that is really beautiful. in verses 3 and 4, he would have known these are his descendants the Lord's talking about. In Genesis 26, in verses 3 and 4, I will bless thee, for unto thee, in verse 3, and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. Verse number 4, I'll make thy seed, talking about descendants, to multiply the stars of heaven. That's what he said to Abraham. And will give unto thy descendants all these countries, and in thy zera, in thy descendants, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. But I want to suggest to you that right here, Isaac stood out in bold daylight as an example of faith, in that he understood both meanings of the word seed. He knew that the Lord was promising him descendants, but he was also promising him grain, I'm going to say it this way, or grass. He was promising him a crop of growing green things, both things. So Isaac sees this and understands it in verses 3 and 4 and applies it in verse 12, not only about children, grandchildren, but about grass and grain and all the other things, because the word is the same. It's the same word. Now, here's an important principle of faith. I want to try to say this in the right way so you don't misunderstand. There are examples in the Bible where the Lord promised one thing, and the person he promised it to saw more than what the Lord promised, and so he claimed that one thing and the rest. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Abraham, in chapter 22, before this, was commanded to take Isaac up to the mountain and slay him as a sacrifice to God. And Abraham believed, and he obeyed, and he took his son, and he went up on the mountain. And you remember we looked at it, was it last Sunday night? We looked at it where Isaac said, "My father, where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "We believe in the providence of God. We believe that God will provide himself a lamb." And there was a ram stuck in with his horns in the thicket. You remember all that. Genesis chapter 22. But Hebrews tells us something that we don't read in Genesis. It tells us that Abraham believed that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead if he slew him. So Abraham's committed to obey the Lord. He believes God did not promise to raise him up. But God had promised that in Isaac all his seed would be. All his descendants would come through Isaac. So it makes so much sense. I call it reasoning by faith. God said he's going to give me my descendants through Isaac. Now he tells me to kill him. Reasoning by faith means he's got to raise him up. Did you know the resurrection was not yet mentioned in the Bible at that point? We don't find it in the book of Genesis. In fact, the Sadducees in Jesus' time didn't believe in the resurrection because you didn't find it in the first five books of the Bible. But Abraham knew about it. He'd already figured out, if God wants me to kill my son, he's going to raise him up. And that's what we call reasoning by faith. Can I give you another example? Joshua is pursuing the kings. Was it five kings? Was it five kings he was pursuing, the Canaanite kings? And it is. And you come to chapter 10 in the book of Joshua, and they're chasing them. They've got them on the run, and they're running out of daylight. And so Joshua says, "Sun, stand thou still. Moon, you too, you be still too. Stay in the sky so we've got daylight to chase down the enemies of God and smite them." And the sun hasted not to go down about the length of a whole day, stuck there in the sky. And they finished the battle. Now, had God ever promised to cause the sun to stand still? No, but he had promised Joshua that he would be able to defeat his enemies. And Joshua says, "Well, if the Lord wants us to defeat our enemies, and we can't do it in one day's time, it sounds reasonable to me that the Lord would pull the handbrake on the solar system and say, just stop it right there until we get through with this." Well, that's reasoning by faith. And this is what Isaac does here. Can I encourage you to learn to do that? If God said he will do this, then I believe he will do this. And so Isaac said, "Lord, you promised that you will bless my seed." Several times it's mentioned. Look back, look over here in verses 3 and 4 again.
The Lord says a command, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Then Isaac sowed, verse 12, in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. He applied the promises widely. He claimed those promises widely. Now, some of you are going to say, wow, I wish I was like that. I wish I could do that. Boy, I wish I was really strong in faith, and I wish I was a real strong Christian, and I wish I could do things like that. I wish I could claim the promises of God. I wish I could understand all these. Boy, if I was just perfect like Isaac, well, wouldn't we have everything together? And wouldn't it be really great? And boy, I wish I was like that. You know, Isaac wasn't somebody superior to us. The Bible says about Elijah that he was a man of what? Like passions. He was a man with the same weaknesses and failings. He had frailty and feebleness and faults like you and I do. When Jezebel said, I'll kill you tomorrow, he ran for his life. He's just like us. Man of like passions as we are. And the reason I mention this is because in this chapter, you saw it when we read the text, there is a failing on the part of Isaac. Look at it again with me. It's here in chapter 26, in verse 8, no, verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon, a beautiful lady. And it came to pass, when he'd been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Then we see this as a real weakness. We see this as a failing on the part of Isaac. So here's this hero of the faith who one chapter in the Bible stands up tall and bold, strong for the Lord, believing the Lord, claiming by faith the promises of God, reasoning by faith, and seeing this terrific harvest. But he's a man with faults like us. He fails like we do. And this is quite serious. You know, Abraham had done the same thing. Abraham said about Sarah, his wife, he said, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Isaac wasn't born when that happened, but he had the same weakness and he did the same thing. And we say, oh, we would never do that. But it points out to us that God blesses people who trust him and rely upon him, even though he knows our weaknesses, he knows our frailty, he knows our faults, that God still blesses us. And that shows it, that teaches us an important lesson, because we don't get blessing from God because we deserve it. Can you follow that? God does not bless us because he owes us blessing. God blesses us by grace. And grace means we don't deserve it, but he does it for us anyway. He loves us very much. You mothers, you have probably boys more than girls that track mud into the house. Did any mother ever have that problem? Did any mother ever not have that problem? And they track mud into the house and they wipe it on a towel without having a bath because they're a boy. Do you still love them? Do you still treat them nice? Do you still give them a cinnamon scroll you just made, even if they don't deserve it? Do you treat him with grace? Do you give him a hug even though you get dirty?
You do, don't you? God is that way. So here Isaac shows us, I really believe he shows us the two natures of the believer. He shows us the new nature, new creature in Christ picture here. But he shows us the old nature. He was afraid. So much so that he denied that his wife was his wife. My, oh my. Does God love people like that? Does he bless them? Does he answer their prayers? Does he give them a hundredfold harvest? He does. That's what we see with Isaac right here. I guess what happens to me when I read this is, I say, Lord, I know some of your commands, and I've read a lot of your promises, and I do believe them, and you do bless me even if I am a dismal failure. Even if I mess up every time I turn around, you still do love me, don't you? And it ought to cause us to have great gratitude toward the Lord. That's basically what I want to say to you tonight. I don't know that I can add anything to that. I ought to share a thought with you right here. I've been wondering whether I need to repeat this. I had it written at the top of my notes. And I talked to a couple of the fellows about it tonight. But it's a saying I read some years ago, and I want you to think about it just a moment and how it contrasts with Isaac. The saying is that when small men cast long shadows, night is near. When small men cast long shadows, night is near. You can grasp that, can't you? Small men, long shadows, the sun's going down. Because we live right now in a time when small men are casting long shadows. Have you noticed that? In churches, in families, in governments, on the world stage, small men are casting long shadows, and that tells us what time of day it is. We're approaching, probably, we believe the rapture's coming any moment, but we're approaching, probably, a great time of darkness in the tribulation. Small men casting long shadows. And that means that we live in a time of spiritual famine. So what do we do in a time of famine? Believe God and sow seed. Believe God and sow seed. Trust the Lord and claim His promises and reason by faith and sow seed. It's a great time to bear fruit. Great time to tell people about the Lord and see people come to faith in Christ. Isaac was not a small man casting a long shadow. I see Isaac as being different from that. I think he was surrounded by small men. Abimelech was one of those. But that Isaac was standing tall as a light shining in his generation because of his faith in the Lord. Isaac was standing tall and shedding light and sowing seed and trusting God and finding blessing. Now, we don't have time tonight, but can I give you something to talk about around the dinner table or on the way home? What do you think the impact on the economy of Abimelech's kingdom was when Isaac started harvesting the hundredfold harvest, and it was a famine in the land, and nobody else had any food? What's the law of supply and demand? Isaac had the supply. They had the demand. It says something like that in verse 13 and 14 of the chapter. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. God blessed him so much that others envied him. We must stop. I'd like to tell you, we'll talk about it another time. Let's pray, and then we're going to get a couple of our fellows to come up and distribute the elements for the Lord's Supper. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are not under the circumstances, as people like to say. You tell us in the Scripture that even when we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You tell us in Scripture about the famines that come, famine of hearing the word in Amos. But when the famines come, it's a good time to sow, trusting God to give a harvest and to bless what we give out. We know there are deeds of kindness that are sowed, but there is the Holy Scripture, and that's the seed of the word. And as we give that out, it bears fruit. And others come to faith in Christ. So help us, Lord. We don't know what 2021 will be like. It may be a famine. It looks like, if it's like 2020, we would think it was. But we know what we're supposed to do. So help us now in this regard, even with our failings, Lord, even with our faults. Help us to be faithful in sowing. Now bless us as we remember the Lord Jesus' death upon the cross, His blood, His body given for us. And help us to do it from our hearts with gladness and rejoicing. Help us, Lord, if there's sin between us and You or anyone else, to make that right, to confess it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I confess my sin. I repent. And then bless us, everyone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.